Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God's plan for a stable society involves each of us caring for our children and then our parents as they age. The result? Tight family bonds that stand the stress of time. Today, a final look at one of the Ten Commandments, one designed for our good. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments as he concludes a message on honor your father and your mother. Jesus spoke with crystal clarity on the importance of this commandment.
These Pharisees, they had it worked out in such a way that they could circumvent the commandment of God, and Jesus was angry with them as a result of it. It says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus is speaking, and he says to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death." That's Christ's interpretation of the Old Testament. You don't even have to curse them. Jesus said, "You speak evil of your father or your mother, let him be put to death." Parenthesis, God has not changed his mind about this. The fact that we do not put children to death is because we are under a different era when there are certain penalties that God does not ask us to implement, but that he takes care of these matters. But God's opinion of rebellious children has not changed. It says, "He who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death." But now Jesus said in verse 5, "But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother," and now here is a translation of it, "anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to dishonor his father or his mother." Then Jesus said, and I'll explain in a moment what he means, "You have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." What the Pharisees did was this. Here they had money. Good money. God had said, "Honor your father and your mother. Take care of your aged parents." They said to themselves, "We've got to find some way around that. So let's take this money and let's dedicate it to God. And if we dedicate this money to God, he is a higher power than our parents. Then we can say this is God's money, and therefore we can use it for our own investments. God entrusts his money to us, but we do not need to give it to our mom and dad." And Jesus said, "Because of traditions like this, you are invalidating the word of God. You are finding, by theological sleight of hand, you are finding ways to circumvent the responsibility that God puts upon your shoulders to take care of the aged. They took care of you, and now you have a responsibility to take care of them." You say, "Well, how do we do this?" Well, first of all, certainly economically, from the standpoint of economics, if they need money, if they need support. You know that the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:4, "If you do not take care of those in your household, you have denied the faith and you are worse than an infidel." I don't think that only means that I have a responsibility to my wife and to my children. That responsibility in those days involved the extended family as well. You're saying, does that mean that grandparents always have to move in with children? Not always, though in some instances it may mean that. Certainly it has economic implications. It has, more importantly, social implications, where the aged people are felt as if they are a part of the family and they are not rejected simply because they have become ill or because they create inconvenience for us and a difficulty in terms of our schedules, where we are willing to draw a circle and include them even at sacrifice and expense to us. A number of years ago on television, there was a little vignette that was trying to emphasize the needs of the aged. There was, in the first frame, there was the picture of a grandfather, a father, and a son. And the grandfather, his hands were very shaky. He could no longer hold a bowl with steadiness, and so he happened to drop a very precious piece of china onto the floor, and it shattered. And the father, namely the man's son, was very angry. You know, that's the trouble with old people like this. They mess things up. They don't know even how to hold a bowl anymore. So he took his father and he banished him into a room, closed the door, and gave him a wooden bowl. You can drop that. A couple of days later, the father was out in the yard and saw his son at work. He said, "Son, what are you doing?" He noticed that the boy was carving something. And he said, "What are you up to?" The boy held in his hand an almost finished bowl and said, "Dad, I'm making this for you." Now, bottom line, you'd better watch the way you treat your parents, because that's possibly the way in which your children will treat you. God says, honor them, that it may be well with you. Isn't it amazing to think that someday we will be old and our hands will shake and we won't be able to hold that bowl? You'd better watch the way you treat your parents, because it may well be that that's the way you'll be treated. And I can think of nothing as hurtful as being rejected by the very ones that you bore into the world, the ones in which you nurtured and helped along, and now suddenly, because you're a burden and because you're old and because you cause such inconvenience to their schedules, you are put away somewhere. And there's very little love and communication. God says, honor them. If you're selfish, honor them. Why? That it may be well with you, the text says. Now, I can imagine that there's someone here sitting saying, "I just wish this sermon was over because I never had parents who loved me," you may say. You may say that you were rejected, you were abused, you perhaps were born illegitimately. Maybe you have in the back of your mind a lot of questions about your own identity and as to who you really are, and maybe even who your parents really are. And you say, "I didn't have all of these social niceties that many people like you, Pastor Lutzer, had being reared in a good home." Does that mean that you have to be a social misfit for the rest of your life? Does that mean that there is no way for you to have emotional wholeness? Well, I'm glad to be able to tell you today the answer is no. There's hope for you. There's hope for anyone. Because, first of all, the body of Jesus Christ has a responsibility to take up the slack where there has been failure. And sometimes we're not very good at that, but I trust that we are getting better at it. Recognizing that we all have to take upon ourselves, sometimes beyond our physical family, those who may have felt left out of earthly families. But also the Bible holds special promises for those who are without an earthly family. That's why God said repeatedly in the Old Testament, he says, "I will be a father to the orphan." No earthly father, no earthly mother. God says, "I'm going to move in and take over. I'm going to fill up the vacuum. I'm going to take up the slack." And so God says also, "I will be a father," he says, "to the widows." Because now they are without a mate, and God says, "I'm going to have to move in and in a very special way take certain responsibilities now that that woman does not have a husband." And that's why David says, "Even though my father and my mother forsake me," they don't understand me, and so they turn against me and they reject me. He says, "The Lord will take me up. I become a member," he says, "of the new family," and God moves in and takes over. Yeah, there are lots of scars and lots of hurts. We could not even begin to bear them if we knew all the hurts that are in existence in a radius of a mile around this church. We couldn't even enter into them if we knew the hurt and the alienation and the rejection of children and the tearing of emotions as a result of the splitting of the families. We can't even begin to bear the hurt, but there is a God who is able to heal and to bring wholeness where there is brokenness. As someone says, God can make you whole if you give him all the pieces, and that's what God wants us to do. All of us, I think, remember Ethel Waters. We remember her primarily because she used to attend many of the Billy Graham meetings, and in those large crusades, she would sing, "His eye is on the sparrow." And she'd end by saying, "I know he watches me," she would sing. Now, Ethel Waters was the product of a rape relationship. A 14-year-old girl was raped, and Ethel was conceived and born. If she had been living in our day and age, it would have been a classic instance when an abortion should have been performed. But she lived at a time when you just had a baby if you were pregnant. But as a result of that rape relationship, Ethel was born and rejected. I remember hearing her say, "Every child needs at least one lap to sit on. Every child should have at least two laps to sit on, and then hopefully some others, some uncles and aunts and grandparents too." But Ethel said, "I never had a lap to sit on." That was her way of saying, "I was rejected, shunted about. Who wants a child conceived in that kind of a relationship?" But then as Ethel grew older and received Jesus Christ as her Savior, she said, "You know, I don't have time to even think about my past hurts." She says, "I am so busy praising the Lord." Well, you know, I can't help but think that his eye was on that sparrow. His eye was on that sparrow. And I say to those of you today whose hearts are heavy because you have come from alienation and hurt and rejection, that when your father and your mother forsake you, and when the circumstances of your birth are questionable and you can't figure it all out, God is there to pick you up, to bring you into the family, to include you, to call you by name and to say, "You're mine, and I'm going to move in and make up for the loss that you should have had but didn't." Do you belong to a Savior who's able to do that today? Some of you, perhaps with hurt in your life, do you know Christ personally? He wants to forgive you, to receive you, to love you, to welcome you forever into God's family.
Yes, my friend, aren't we glad for the family of God? I remember many years ago a woman wandering into Moody Church. She was with child, without a husband. And what she said over and over again throughout the years is, "This is my family." How grateful we are for the family of God. You know, in America today, most Americans don't mind saying they believe in God just as long as they get to choose the God in whom they believe. So they have domesticated him. They have made him manageable. I believe it's so important for us to get back to God as he is, the God of Sinai. That's why I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters. It's actually based on the Ten Commandments. It helps us to see the Ten Commandments as a plumb line that shows us, if I might use the illustration, of how crooked we are, though it cannot straighten us out, but it can lead us to God's grace, the wonder of his love, and the beauty of his redemption. I believe that this resource will help you on your journey of life. And as I've already emphasized, for a gift of any amount, it can be yours. And this is the second to last day we're making this resource available for you.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Honor Your Father and Your Mother, a look at the sixth of the Ten Commandments. Next time, Commandment number 7. How to live with your passions. Eternity will reveal how faithful we were on earth. That's why Holiness Matters, the title of a book by Pastor Lutzer that describes the holiness of God as expressed in the Ten Commandments. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.